Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Gimel. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Nun Beza Mbeza, and we are going to continue discussing the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim when he goes with Pnei V'Lufnim and he does the Ketores. We're still in the middle of that first the first time he enters when he is Maktir the Ketores. So we're going to start by discussing exactly how he places the Ketores over the coals. Then the Gemara is going to tell us a machlokas between the Chachamim and the Tzedukim about how they would place the Ketores over the coals. The Gemara is going to talk a lot about the Mala Ashan, that was one of the ingredients in the Ketores, and that allowed the smoke to come straight up, go directly up from the Ketores. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, that's going to lead into a discussion of the death of the Shnei Bnei Aaron and what exactly they died for. And on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to go back to the discussion in the Mishnah about how when he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would go out the same path that he came in, but he would walk out backwards. And we're going to talk about the other applications of walking out backwards. When a Talmud is Niftar Mifnei Rabbo, when a Talmud is leaving his Rebbe, he's also supposed to walk out backwards. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of taking three steps back at the end of Shmona Esrei. Also, Talmud Niftar Bifnei Rabbo, so that's also something that requires three steps back. So at the end of Shmona Esrei, we also take three steps back when we are when we're taking leave of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss the Tefillah Ketzara that the Kohen Gadol offers. We said that he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim while he's still in the Heichal. He says a Tefillah Ketzara. It's got to be Ketzara so that people don't get scared that he died. But he should say a Tefillah Ketzara. That will be right before the Mishnah. And then the next Mishnah, which appears in the middle of Amud Beis, it's a lot of words in today's daf, a long daf. The next Mishnah is going to discuss what he does next. After he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he then has to take care of other avodos, the Dam Hapar, which requires him going back inside, and then he has to do the Sayer and the Shechita of the Sayer and the Dama Sayer. So that's all in the Mishnah that follows. The Gemara that's right after the Mishnah records the Machlokas whether the Aron after the first Beis HaMikdash was Nital or was Nignaz. Was it taken by our enemies or was it Nignaz? Was it hidden by Yoshio HaMelech in advance, knowing that that it would otherwise be in danger? But certainly during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't there. So we left off at the two dots on Nun Beis HaMikdash, Savar HaKetores Al Gabei Gechalim. He would pile the Ketores on top of the coals. So Tanan Kamandi Amar Tzovra. We have a Mishnah like that supports the Shita that Tzovra, that he would pile it all up at one time and not evenly spread it out. If you evenly spread it out, it would immediately start creating smoke. When you pile it all up at one time, it takes a while for the heat of the coals to get through the pile of Ketores and to create the smoky atmosphere. Tani Chad Tzovra Pnima Shi Chutzalo V'Tani Idach Tzovra Chutz. We have one brisa that says that he would be tzover inward, which is further away from him, meaning inward, more away from him, more toward the western side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we have another brisa that says that he would be tzover chutza, more outward, which is pnima lo, closer to where he was standing. Amar Abayi Tanayi. So Abayi says, okay, that's there are two brises because it's machlokas tanayim. V'amar Abayi mistaver command the amar pnima shi chutzalo. That it's more mistaver like the shita that says pnima shi chutzalo. The tanan, because we learn in the Mishnah, melamdeno so hizar shalotaskel mipanecha shematichve. That we warn him that he has to be careful that he shouldn't he shouldn't get burnt by the smoke that's coming up from the ketores that he has just placed there. If it's shlotaskel mipanecha litzpor v'leile chala, that he shouldn't begin right in front of him and go outward, because shemetichva, then the ketores that he's already dropped is already going to be malashen as he's reaching over it, and that's going to burn him. It's going to scald him as he reaches over it. As Rashi says, shemetichva shaketores shetzaveres litzivcha bo eres tamid uzracha mispashit v'holich lala nichva b'timura ola. The smoke that's coming up from the Ketores that you've already dropped there, if you're leaning over it, is certainly going to burn his arm. Tanu Rabbanan, v'natsanas ha'ktoros al rosh al ha'esh l'fnei Hashem. He puts the ktoros al ha'esh l'fnei Hashem. Shelo yisakin mibachutz v'yachnis. That means that he should not be misakin the ktoros mibachutz, meaning he shouldn't burn the ktoros first outside and then bring it in. That's not the way it works. The way we do it in the Beis HaMikdash is that we bring the shovel, we bring the ladle, and they're separate entities until the shovel is placed down, bein shnei abadim, or in the makom shebein shnei abadim, and then you put the ladle full of ktoros on top of it. But that's that we do not prepare it in advance outside, we do it all inside. Lahotzi miliban shel tzdukim, this is to demonstrate that we are going against the tzdukim, sha'omrim yisakin mibachutz v'yachnis, because the tzdukim said, yisakin mibachutz v'yachnis, that they should burn the ktoros outside, and then just bring the already burning ktoros inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. My drosh, what drosh did they make to, where do they see this in the psukim? Ki ba'ana nera ala kaporas. Ala kaporas, that they darshin, it says ba'ana nera ala kaporas, so that, that apparently there already has to be an anan at the time that they go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Melamit she yisakin mibachutz v'yachnis. So this tells us that you're misakin mibachutz and then you go inside. Amr lem chacham, so the chacham said back to the tzdukim, v'lo kvar nemar v'nasnas k'toris ala eish lifnei Hashem. But it says that you're supposed to do the nesina of the k'toris on the eish lifnei Hashem. All that happens lifnei Hashem. Im kein matam lamer ki ba'ana nira ala k'pores. So then what do we do with the pasuk of ba'ana nira ala k'pores? Melamit shenosin b'mala ashan. That teaches that you have to put in the ingredient mala ashen that causes the smoke. It's a certain mala ashen, a certain type of spice that gets mixed into the ktoris that causes the smoke to go directly up. That you have to put in the mala ashen. Uminayin shenosim ba mala ashen. Where do we know that mala ashen has to be put in? The Gemara is going to later say. Rashi points out uminayin shenosim ba, says Rashi, lekaman parach lamali hanafkale, that we already just said how we know that you have to put in. Myla Ashan, but okay, Shenemar, because Pasuk says, V'chisa anana k'tores, esa kapores. Halonasan b'mala ashan, so if you don't put mala ashan, if it's missing mala ashan, so from the fact that it says, v'lo yamus, that you better do this, or else you're going to die. Osha chisra achas mikol samneha, or for that matter, if you're missing any one of the sammanim of the k'tores, chayiv misa, so there's a chayiv misa, every single ingredient is critical. Absent any ingredient, there's a chiyuv misa for having a ketores that is chaser. And we learned that from the words v'lo yamus. Says Mara, why do I need that from the words v'lo yamus? For typically the kamayil be a reikonis. Aren't you chayiv misa anyway? Even if it didn't say v'lo yamus, you should be chayiv misa because you brought when you bring in a ketores that's chaser. When you bring in a ketores that doesn't have all of the ingredients, because then it's a beer reikonis. Then it's aliyav abchaleis v'lo yamus. There's another pasuk that you can't go b'chaleis ala kodesh. You can't just stam waltz in. So without any purpose, without any avoda to do. So if you walk in with ketores that's chaser, that's unusable, so anyway chayiv misa because it's a bir reikonis. Why do I need a special pasuk? Tell me dafka about ketores that's missing an ingredient. So Rav Shesha Sachem Ayaskin Gon Sheshagag Bibia V'Hizid Baktara. So one answer to the Gemara is that maybe the case is that he was Shagag Bibia, that he came in Bia Rekanis, but he didn't know, he was Bishogig about when he came in. He knew that there's Misa for being Maktir ketores that's Chaser, but he didn't know that there was Misa for Bia Rekanis. So he was Shogig about the Bia Rekanis. So that's why we need to be told that he's chayiv misa for ketores that's chaser, because sometimes he's not going to be chayiv misa for the bia reikonis if he happened to have been shogeg about the bia reikonis. Rav Ashi am rafilute mehezid bezu. No, he could even say he was mezid about both the bia and the ketores. Ukegon da'ail shtei ketores achas shlema v'achas chasera. Maybe he brought in two ketores and one of them was perfectly good, so it wasn't a bia reikonis, and one of them was chaser. So if he uses the chaser ketores, he's going to be chayiv misa for using the chaser ketores, but it's not a bia reikonis because he also has the good kitares. So abiyalo mechayev da ayel eshlema. He's not going to be chayev on the bi on entering because he brought a eshlema. A haktarim mechayev to come makter kitares chasera. But for the haktari, he's going to be chayev because he was makter kitares. That is that's chaser. The Mari Abuhav is quoted in the Beis Yosef in Orchaim Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel. The Beis Yosef writes that a person should not say parshas kitares by heart. You should only say mitoch haksav because if you say palpe, then it's very likely a person is going to be chisra achas mikol samaneha. You're going to be listing off all the samane akhtaras. It's very likely a person is going to skip one. And you chayv misa with amir's kataras chasera, just like you chayv misa for haktaras kataras chasera, says the Maria Abu Avon. Shalom l'parmes chasenu, we take very literally. The way we fulfill kataras bizman azeh is by reciting the kataras. So he said you should read it from iksav, make sure that you don't skip any of the Samane Ketores. And he says, and that's where the minute came from, that some people don't say the Parsha at all. They feel that it's not worth the risk, that if they skip any of the Samane, they don't say it at all. So, okay, Bittul Mitzvah of Ketores Ketores, or of Nishan L'Parmes Vaseinu. But if they say it and they mess up, so then it's going to be Chiv Misa. Beis Yosef is Cholik. He says, no, there's no Chiv Misa by the Amiris HaKetores when you're Chisra Achaz Mikol Samna. The Chiv Misa is only by the Haktaras HaKetores, but he does quote such a day, even though he disagrees with it. Rashi writes that in Krisas Davav, Rashi discusses the Chisrachas Mikol Samneha mitam the Biarekanis aspect, which is a little bit difficult to understand in light of our Gemara. Our Gemara seems to understand that these are two, clearly understands that these are two totally separate issues. That's the Kashol the Achronim ask on Rashi. Now the Rama writes that a person, this is for Ashkenazim, the Rama and Simon Kuflam and Beis, the end of Simon Kuflam Bey says that a person should be very careful not to say Parshas Ketores Baal Peh, like the Ma'ari Abuav says, to be Mekayim in the minhag of the Ma'ari Abuav, he says, and therefore many have a minhag not to say it on a weekday, because everyone is Torah and Memaher, and they're likely to forget and to miss some words, only on Shabbos to say it, Benachas Mitoch Haksav, only on Shabbos when you have time to say the Ketores. That's what Rama says, that there's some that have such a minhag because of the concern of the Ma'ari Abuav. We decided here that we say the Talmud and the Ketores, because that's what was brought every single day, and those were the two most important. Hopefully, if we're not saying all the other Kabbalists, at the very least, we'll say all the words of the Ketores. And on the Biarei Karnas issue, just the Shagas Aryeh points out in a tshuva in Siman Ayin Aleph that Haktaras Ketores Chaser on Yom Kippur involves another Isra as well. Forget about Biarei Karnas, forget about the fact that in Chisrachas Mikol Samna Chayiv Misa, there's also an Isra Malach on Yom Kippurim of Havara, the Chiv Kares of it's Chamer Misa Bidei Shemayim, and therefore the Gemara. Therefore, he asks, why doesn't the Gemara ask about that? I mean, the Gemara is asking, oh, you're going to be chayv misa bidei shemayim for bi'a reikanis. The Gemara could ask better. You should be chayv kares for havara and yom kippurim. Kares is worse than misa bidei shemayim. So the Shagasari is bothered. Why didn't the Gemara ask about the chayv kares? So he says that the Gemara's kasha was that even before your maktir the ketores chasera, you're already chayv misa for the bi'a reikanis. Meaning the Gemara is not asking, I'll give you a better chayv. The Gemara is saying, you should be chayiv at an earlier stage for the havara, the chayiv kares. That's only going to come at a later stage. Not all the achronim are convinced by the ikar din of the Shagas Aryeh. They say that it's not chayiv mishum havara on ketores chasera because it's burned without a purpose and there's no kiyum mitzvah. So he says if that the fact that it's burnt without a purpose and there's no kiyum mitzvah is mekalkel b'havara and there's no isadaraisa when it's mekalkel b'havara, since it's derech mekalkel, it's in a destructive way. So then there would be no chiyuv d'oraisa. So that's how a group of other achronim disagree with the Shagas Aryeh. The Chemda and Parshas Achremos points out. Okay, Amar Mar says Gemara Vayitu Minayin Shnosim b'Mala Ashan. How do I know we put Mala Ashan in? Tam Lomar v'Chisas. The pasuk says v'Chisas. So Kra l'Kra. What, I need a pasuk for something that it says Beferish in the pasuk? What does that mean? That you're going to quote a pasuk as a source for that which we already have directly in the pasuk? So Amar Rav Yosef Hachikam. Amar. Ainli ela mala ashan. Iker mala ashan minayin. I would only know to use the leaves of this herb called mala ashan. How do I know that you use the roots of mala ashan also? Tamalam rav chisa. That's what the extra pasuk comes to teach me. Amar le Abaye v'ibchatanya. So Abaye says, no, what are you talking about? It says it the exact opposite. Titanya nasan by iker mala ashan. Hayimet tamar v'ola kamakal ashan megilah shmeikara. You see that the iker mala ashan, the root of the mala ashan, is the primary ingredient of this, the primary part of the mala ashan, the one that really works, because it says beferush in the brayso that they put the iker mala ashan, and then it goes. Then the smoke goes straight up in a pillar, ad shmei kora. V'kiven sheyigil shmei kora, and once it reaches the ceiling, mimashmesh v'yorid b'kosal. Then it goes off to the sides and goes down the walls, ad shen smalei abayis ashan, until the whole place is filled with smoke. Shenemar v'abayis amalei ashan. Elo amar abayis, or rather abayis says, na hachi kamar, ein li ala ikr mala ashan, ala mala ashan minayin. I would only know about the ikr mala ashan. That's the more obvious one, the roots of the mala ashan. How do I know that the leaves of the mala ashan are also used? Tamlom Rav Chisa, Rav Sheshe Samar, in the Ela Ol Moed Shebemidbar. Rav Sheshe says, I would only know about the Ol Moed Shebemidbar. Shiloh Beis Olam Minayin. How do I know the Mishkan Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, the permanent Beis HaMikdash, how do I know that's also true? Tamlom Rav Chisa, that you include my Lashon in there as well. Tamlom Rav Chisa, Hai Mivchein Yasal Ol Moed HaShochein Itam Nafka. But don't we have another pasuk that tells me that we do the same thing for all future Mikdash, for Mikdashos? No, that's what it's coming to tell me, that I would only know to do it on Yom Kippur. How do I know that the Ketores that we bring throughout the rest of the year also requires a mala ashan? That's why it says v'chisa. Ravashi yom chad the mitzvah v'chad the akev. That one time I needed to tell me the mitzvah, one time to tell me that it's ma'akev. Rav amar chad the onesh v'chad the asara. One to tell me that there's an onesh, and the other one is to tell me la asara. You always need a second one to teach me an onesh. So essentially, on the kasha of the Gemara, three terutzim. Rav Sheshe says that the din of mala ashan is said gam ledoros and also for kol hashana. Ravashi says, as the pasuk echa teach me the mitzvah of mala ashan, the second pasuk teach me that a chisaron of mala ashan is ma'akev the ketores, and the whole thing will be pasul. And Rava says one pasuk teaches me not to be chasa the mala ashan, and the second pasuk teaches me the onesh for being makter ketores without mala ashan. So within the shita of Rav Ashi and Rava, there is a machlokas rishonim if they are moded to Rav Sheshes that the din of mala ashan is noeg all year round and not only on Yom HaKippurim, meaning if they're arguing in terms of what the extra pasuk is teaching me, and Rav Sheshe says, oh, the extra pasuk is teaching me this applies all year round. But Rav Ashi and Rav have a different approach as to what the extra pasuk is teaching me. Well, are they moded to that din, that it still applies all year round? So from Tosos over here, it sounds that Tosos holds within the sheet of Rav that he's moded to Rav Sheshe's, that it, the din of Mal Ashen is knowing by Ketores of all year round as well. And L'chara, the same is true for Rav Ashi, because this din is not Shani B'machlokas. We don't find that there's a machlokas on this issue. However, the Mishnah Lamelech is medayik from the Rambam in Klei Hamikdash Perek Beis Halacha Ches that the din of Mala Ashan is only for the Ketores in Yom HaKippurim, not for the Ketores of Kol Hashana. And the Mishnah Lamelech explains the sheet of the Rambam is that even though Rav Sheshes holds that Mala Ashan is no Kol Hashana, but that's what Rav Ashi and Rav are cholek on. They give other terutzim, so they're not mekabel the teretz that it applies for Kol Hashana Kula. So apparently, the chiyuv of mala ashan is not for kol hashana kula; it's only for Yom HaKippurim. In the Likutei Halachos, he writes that even in the Shitas HaRambam that there's no chiyuv of mala ashan kol hashana kula. There's still a mitzvah lechadchila to use it kol hashana kula. The Rambam is only saying that there's no chiyuv; there's no absolute obligation to use it kol hashana kula. Okay, but that's the three basic answers. Tanya, Vayter in the Gemara is about the seventh wide line. Rav Lozer Amar, v'loyamus onesh ki ba'anane ra. I might have thought that even before the Mises Bnei Aaron, both of these psukim are already in intact. Both of these halachs are already operative, and therefore they would their death could easily be explained by the fact that they didn't put the Mala Ashan into the Ketores when they brought the Ketores. Tamlomer Achremos Shnei Bnei Aaron. That's why the pasuk says Achremos Shnei Bnei Aaron. Yachliu Shnei Amurim Achremis Shnei Bnei Aaron. So I might think both the Asara and the Onesh are only operative after they died. Tamlomer Kibana Neirah Lakaporas. No, the pasuk says Kibana Neirah Lakaporas. Haketzad Asara Kodem Misa VaOnesh Acher Misa. The Asara already existed before the Misas Bnei Aaron. The Onesh didn't exist until after the Misas Bnei Aaron. My Talmuda. How do we know this? Amar Rava Amar Kra Kibana Neirah Vadayin lo nira. Well, my time in Yonush Vadayin lo nira. Meaning the pasuk says kibana e ra'e sounds in the future. So it sounds that when this pasuk was said, Adayin lo nira. Now, if it was after the Mises Bnei Aaron, it was kvar nira boba yom, because it says ve'yisu ve'yvaruch hasam ve'yarkavod Hashem al kol ha'am. So it already happened that day. So e ra'e implies future tense. That's how we know that it was not yet operative. Well, my time in Yonush. So wait a second. If there was no onesh yet for failing to bring Mala Ashan, there was only an Ashara, so great, we learned that the Shnei Bnei Aaron violated some Ashara, but there's no Onesh, so why did they get killed? So why did they actually get punished? They died because they were Mora Halacha Bifnei Moshe, their Rebbe. Maidrosh, Benasun Bnei Aaron HaKoyin, Eish Al Mizbech. Even though the Eish comes down from Shemayim, there's a mitzvah to bring an Eish mina hedyot, so they brought their own fire. So they gave an appropriate horah. That was correct. That horah was absolutely correct. But they should not have been mora halacha b'fnei rabban. So even though it was a correct horah, they were chayiv misa for being mora halacha b'fnei rabban. Tosos of here quotes the Medrash, the Taurus Kohanim has many deos why the Bnei Aaron actually died. There's one in the Medrash, it's because they said that when will these two old guys die and that we can finally take over the leadership of Klal Yisrael. There's one day in the Medrash that Purei Rosh nichnasu l'migdash. They came into the base of Migdash with their heads uncovered. Some say Suyayin Hayu, they had drunk wine. Others say Mechusrei Begadim Hayu, they weren't wearing all the big day kuhuna. Tosra Beit Peretz raises the question, why were they punished? It's Harei Havei Afrushei Me Yusura, that in order to stop someone from doing an Isser, a Talmud is allowed to be Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabba, meaning going with our Gemara's understanding that it was about Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabba, in order to prevent an Isser, which every step was an Isser, if they had to do everything just right, so you're allowed to be Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabba. So the Tosra Beit Peretz suggests, maybe it was a Gzeira Chadasha that there were Gozer. They should have asked of Moshe, maybe he would disagree with them, and then it's not called a Frushim Eisura, or maybe they made some sort of mistake, that maybe the whole din is only by the Mizbeach HaChitzam, but not by the Mizbeach HaPnimi, so they should have consulted with Moshe Rabbeinu. But the bottom line is that if you look through the Midrashim, you look through Rashi and Chumash, he quotes from a variety of Midrashim, we find a whole bunch of other other possibilities of why the Bnei Aaron died. Chazal also made a gzera that a Talmud should not be mora unless he's notel rishus mirabo. That's a different halacha. Not only are you not allowed to be mora halacha b'fnei rabo, this is a different halacha the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about, that a Talmud's not allowed to be mora unless he's notel rishus mirabo. He needs to, that's what we call smicha. He needs heter hara'a in order to paskin. He needs to get permission from his Rebbe to Paskin. And the Orchos Chaim writes that the whole Isra, I believe it's quoted in Beis Yosef in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he writes that the whole Isra is only Bimei Chazal. But nowadays, Kol Dinei Talmud the Rav are all batel. There's no longer a din of Talmud of a Talmud and a Rav, because the Gemaros and the Perushim and the Chidushim and all the Svarim that we have, they are the Rebbeim of Klal Yisrael. So there's no longer, and this is many Achronim write like this. It's no longer halacha of Talmud being mora b'fnei rabo, except that that a person has to consult svarim before he's mora halacha, because the svarim are the real rebbeim of everybody. That's where our ikur chachma comes from, is from all the svarim. The Agos Maimonios, however, holds that it's dafka what it says in the svarim. You could be hora b'fnei rabo, but to be mora milibo, something to be medam milsa l'milsa, any judgment call, that you can't be mora b'fnei rabo. Meaning, you can only say that your rebbe is not your rebbe. Rebbe for what it says Beferish in the Sefer. It says Beferish in Shulchan Aruch. So good, the Shulchan Aruch is your Rebbe. But if it doesn't say Beferish in the Sefer and requires some sort of judgment call, as many, many Piskei Halacha do, it requires some sort of judgment, some sort of being Medama Milsa the Milsa. So it goes Maimonides says, so then you still have a Rebbe. Then there's still an Isser of being Mara Halacha Bifnei Rabbo. Okay, says the Gemara further. Yatzo bolo b'derech k'nisaso. So he then goes out the same way he walked in. Minani mili. How do we know he goes out the same way he walked in? Amar b'shom b'nachmeni, amar b'yonason, amar kra, v'yav shlom alabama asher b'givon Yerushalayim, v'chima inyin givon etzal Yerushalayim. Why does it mention Givon and Yerushalayim in the same breath? Elamakish yitziyasom b'givon Yerushalayim, l'biyasom Yerushalayim l'givon. We compare his leaving from Givon to Yerushalayim to his entry from Yerushalayim to Givon in the following way. Ma biyasom Yerushalayim leGivon panav klape bama kiderech biyaso, just like when he came from Yerushalayim to Givon, he faced forward toward the bama as one who goes toward something normally does. Af yitziyasom migivon leYerushalayim panav klape bama kiderech biyaso. Just so too, when he goes out from Givon to Yerushalayim, his face is toward the bama kiderech biyaso, the same way it was facing when he walked in. So we see from Shlomo HaMelech the idea of walking out backwards. V'chein kohanim ba'avodasan, and the same is true of the kohanim in their avoda, that when they're done they walk out backwards. Ulevim b'duchanan, v'Yisrael b'mamadan. Ulevim from the duchan, Yisrael from the mamados. K'shein niftarim lo yimachzirim p'neim v'holchin. When they would go out, they would not just turn around and go out. Ela mitzadim p'neim v'holchin. They would turn a little bit to this. Excuse me, they would turn a little bit to the side and go that way. And the same is true of a Talmud that takes leave of his Rebbe, should not just turn around. We mentioned yesterday that was Rav Huttner's Hakpada, that he wouldn't allow any of the Talmudim to turn their back on him and walk out, that you'd have to walk out facing him. And the Gemara tells us stories of Gedolei Amoraim who had this practice, that they were very careful to not turn their back on their Rebbeim when they walked out from their Rebbeim. When Rav Lazar would take leave of Rabbi Yochanan, Katava Bay Rabbi Yochanan the Skuya, when Rabbi Yochanan wanted to go, have a gachim kai Rabbi Lazar Adukte Adav Mixi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar would bend over and stay in his place until Rabbi Yochanan was not visible anymore. The Katava Bay Rabbi Lazar the Skuya, and when Rabbi Lazar wanted to leave, have a kazula chore Adam Machasim in Rabbi Yochanan. He would walk backwards until he couldn't see Rabbi Yochanan anymore. I mean, you keep walking backwards until Rabbi Yochanan was out of sight. So that's the question. This halach is in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Shulchan Aruch, that a person has to have this kind of kavod for a Rebbe. So is it, what's the extent of the chiyuv? Does one have to keep walking backwards until mamash you can't see him anymore? So it sounds that way from our Gemara. But if you look the way the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perkei Halacha Hei, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yardes, in Reish Mem Hei, Siv Gimel, they don't say that you have to go that much backwards. They say a little bit la'achara, that you start walking backwards a little bit just to show the sign of respect. Aye, what about Reb Lazar? Reb Lazar apparently walked backwards all the way until he didn't see him anymore. Amidus chasidus, a very nice thing. The Meiri says that it's a din, that's the adrav. This Gemara is the whole makar, it's the whole source for the din. So why should we assume that it was only amidus chasidus? That's part of the that's part of the din. Okay, in the Sefer Siach Yitzchak, he tries to suggest that the Rambam goes like the Meiri also. Either Rambam doesn't say it in Hilchos Talmud Torah, they have to keep going until he can't see him anymore. Maybe that's because the Rambam is Somech when he writes in Hilchos Beis Avichira. So that fits well with the Rambam, but in the Shulchan Aruch, it's clearly not that way. The Shulchan Aruch clearly assumes that you don't walk all the way backwards until you can't see him anymore. Okay, so it says Gemara further, Rava kadava miftar mined Rav Yosef, hava azal achare ad menakvan kare. When Rava would take leave of Rav Yosef, he would walk backwards until his feet were bruised because he couldn't see where he was going and he kept on hitting things when he was walking backwards. And if you looked at the threshold of the door by Rav Yosef, it was full of blood because Rava had walked backwards from Rav Yosef so many times and it had bruised his feet so badly that it was Lahavdil Kirchling's bloody sock, right? So this is Rav Yosef's bloody threshold of his door doorway was the siman of the respect that Rava had for him. So Amar Leil Rav Yosef, Hachi Avid Rava. So they told Rav Yosef, do you know what Rava is doing? Rav Yosef was blind. Rav Yosef couldn't even see that this is what Rava was doing. So they reported to Rav Yosef, Rava's walking this way, he's bleeding all over the place, he's an unbelievable amount of respect for you. Amar Leil Yehirua Detarim Reshecha Kula Karcha. So he said that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva for the entire town. That's the bracha that he gave him. So Rashi says over here, Rav Yosef was blind, right? That's the which he was. We know this from many places in Shas, that Rav Yosef was blind. We have it in the 10th parak of Pesachim in terms of the Haggadah. So Rav Yosef was we have in Kiddushin that Rav Yosef is one that said that anyone who would tell me, I think it was Rav Yosef Zon said, anyone who told me that a blind man is, first I thought anyone who told me a blind man is pater from mitzvahs, I would avinu yamatava l'rabbanan and make a party for the rabbis because I'm doing it anyway, I'm doing mitzvahs even though I'm not commanded. But then I heard gadol mitzvah v'yosa yosa mishena mitzvah v'yosa, so now anyone who tells me a blind man is chayiv in mitzvahs, I'll make a yamatava l'rabbanan. But Rav Yosef was definitely blind, so the Sfasemis proves from our Gemara that the chiv to be latzis la'achora from your Rebbe is even if the Rebbe is blind. So he says the Gemara, from the Gemara it sounds like when Rabbi Yochanan was nifter Rabbi Lazar, he was holy chacharav until Rabbi Lazar couldn't see him anymore. So it sounds like ain rabba, if your Rebbe can't see, meaning it sounds like the shear of how far you have to walk back is till your Rebbe can't see you anymore. Well, if your Rebbe's blind, you shouldn't have to walk back at all because he can't see you anymore. So what was Rabbi doing? So Sfasema says the Gemara, we could be miyashiv the Gemara to say that the maisa of Rabbi that he went backwards from Rabbi Yosef was maybe before Rabbi Yosef went blind. Rabbi Yosef wasn't blind his entire life. Rav Yosef became ill and he became blind. Abaye was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, was always reminding Rav Yosef of things that he had said. When he went blind, he also forgot much of his learning, and that's why he always needed to be reminded. That's why Abaye throughout Shas is always telling Rav Yosef, but don't you remember, you're the one that taught us this halacha, all the times that he didn't remember the halachas. So it's very likely that when Rav was constantly going by him to learn by him, it was before he had become blind. So that's what maybe in a chinami, if the Rebbe is blind, maybe there would be no chi. Well, what's the issue depend on? Is it a din in the Rebbe that the Rebbe should feel kavod, or is it a din in the Talmud that the Talmud should give the kavod? Meaning, is the point of walking backwards so that the Rebbe should sense that he's receiving the kavod, or is the point that it's that for the in order for the Talmud to learn, he has to have that kind of kavod for the Rebbe? One could easily suggest that it's a din in the Talmud. The Gemara Moed Katan says that a person should not learn from a Rebbe unless the Rebbe is Domel Malach Hashem Tzvakos, that there has to be a certain awe of the Rebbe. So if in order to create that sense of awe, the Talmud has to treat the Rebbe with that sense of awe, whether the Rebbe feels it or not. That's that would be the way to explain it if the din would be operative even when the Rebbe is blind. Interesting bracha that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva. The Meiri understands not just Tam that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva in the city, but that he should take over for me, that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva after I'm gone. That's the bracha Rav Yosef gave. Rabbeinu Chananel said that what this means, that Torim Resha Chakula Karcha, is not about a position of Rosh Yeshiva. It's that halacha kamoso, that we should always paskin the halacha like Rava. So the bracha became Mekuyim, except for the Al Kigam. We always paskin like Rava against Abaye, because in the days of Abaye and Rava, there were two yeshivas. There was Abaye's yeshiva, Rava's yeshiva. So Rav Yosef said that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva over the Shnei yeshivas, Marsha explains. And that's why when Abaye died, the entire yeshiva of Abaye actually came to Rava. So even if it's a Rosh Yeshiva bracha, like the way Rashi understood, the Marsha explains, that also became Mekuyim. He became the Rosh Yeshiva over Kula, over everything, over Abaye's yeshiva also, because when Abaye died, all of Abaye's Talmidim came to learn by Rava. Okay, and so along similar lines, the Gemara goes on, Am Rabbi Alexandri, Am Rabbi Shimon Levi, Hamispalel, when a person davens, a person should take three steps back and then yitin shalom, then say also shalom. So the Amar Le Rav Mordechai, Kivin Shapasa Shalosh P'sil Slacharav, Hasim Yibay Le Lemekam. When we take three steps back, we should stay there. A person should stay in that place. Shouldn't go right away back to where he was before. The Rif says you wait there until the Shliach Sibur begins the Tefillah. The Rambam says you wait until the Shliach Sibur begins Kedusha. So you wait there for some time. Shulchan Aruch passes the Chachila like the Rambam. The Chachila, we should wait till the Shliach Tzibur begins Kedusha, but Lekala Pachos until the Shliach Tzibur begins the Tefillah, like the Rif says. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Shita of the Ravid that even a Yachidus Mispalel should wait that amount of time that normally it would take. So that's the... So that's the shear of the amount of time. It's not that the Shliach Tzibur beginning is what's matir walking forward. It's that that's an easy way to see to it that you're waiting a proper amount of time. That's the shear, and therefore it applies even when you're davening b'yachidus. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Ravid. But that's the halacha. That person, a lot of people don't know that. They take three steps back, immediately take three steps forward. So the halacha is a person is supposed to stay in that place. Mashal Talmud Anifta Mirabo Mechozel Lialter Domel Lekelav Shoshav Alkiyo. It's like a Talmud who's taking leave of his Rebbe. If he right away goes right back, so he's like a dog who's going back to eat its own vomit. That's quite a startling mushel to give for someone who continues who walks right back. But okay, I'm sure the Achronim explained. Didn't have a chance to take a look what they say about that. Tanya Namiyachi, I'm a spal tzorich shiyafsiya sholosh psiyos la'acharav. We have a Baisa that says this way, that when a person davens, he should take three steps back, va'achar kach yitein shalom, and then he should be yitein shalom, then he should say also shalom. V'im lo asakein roi lo shalom l'spalel. And if he doesn't do that, it's better off not davening in the first place. U'mishum Rav Shmaya amru shenos in shalom li'yamin, va'achar kach l'smol. And the Rav Shmaya says that when you know sin shalom, you turn to the right first and then to the left. Shenemra miyamino eshtas lamo, that the fiery Torah is miyamino. Va'omer yipol mitzidcha refers to the left side, elef urvava miminecha. My va'omer, what does the second pasuk add? V'chitei ma'orcha demilsihi lemesa biyamin. If you're going to say that it's normal to give to the right, tashma yipol mitzidcha elef urvava miminecha. So Rava, that's why the pasuk refers to both sides. Rava chazila abaye, do you have shalom? So Rava saw this is how Abaye was doing it. He was turning to the right first. So he said to Abaye, I think you're messing up. It's not supposed to go to your right. No, it's to your left, which is the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We saw that both Abaye and Rava had the practice that they would take three steps back in one bow, meaning this is also the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The way one is supposed to take the three steps back, you're not supposed to be standing upright and take three steps back. You bow forward and then take the three steps back as you remain bowed the entire time that you take three steps back, and then you turn to both sides. So that's the derech that it's supposed to be done, that the three steps back are supposed to be taken. The Torah writes that when it says Nosin Shalom, it's the Yamin that you say at the end of the Tefillah, the Osa Shalom on both sides. Now the Mishnah Berurah says the shear of the Kriya, how much do you have to bow? So we said you bow as you take three steps back. So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Chav Gimel Sif Katan Yud Aleph says the shear of the Kriya is Kedei She'Yispakeku Kol Chul Yosef Shebeshedra, that the bones of your spine would be visible on your back. So you bend over enough that the bones would be visible. So that's the idea of bowing as you take three steps back. Now there is significant discussion in the Rishonim what these three steps are for. Why dafka three steps? By a Talmud that's being niftar mipnei Rabbo, we can't do that shir for the Ribono Shalom. The shir we said before, till the Rebbe doesn't see you anymore, so that's going to be a little bit of a problem for the Ribono Shalom because he always sees you. So we have this idea of three steps. Why dafka three steps? So the basic Yosef quotes a whole bunch of different shittos as to where it comes from. He quotes from Ma'ari that it's connected Gimel Milin, that Klal Yisrael was Nisrachek and Matan Torah, and so that's why we take three steps. Beis Yosef writes, Mipnei Shemosh Rabbeinu Nichnas, Moshe Rabbeinu came in to bring the Torah Derech Shlosha Shlavim. He had to go in through Choshech, Oshon, Va'arafel, three madrigos of cloudiness or of challenges that he had to get through in order to bring us the Torah. The Rabbeinu Haigon says that Tfilos are Nitzkan Keneged Atmidin, and when the Kohen would be Olam Mizbeach with the Avari Atamid, he would go in three Rovdin Shalevin and three rows of stones which were between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach, and he would go three steps back on his heels at the end. So that's how so we do the same thing to mimic that. The Orchos Chaim says that the three steps is Keneged Shlosha Milin, that Klal Yisrael Harsina we said, and also Moshe Rabbeinu he also mentions the Choshech Chanan V'Arafel. What else do we have? Oh, the Yalkut Eliezer says the Sholosh Psios are connected. That there are four madrigals, Domim, Tzomeh, Chai, Medaber. So a person has to always assume that he's on the lowest of the three potential madrigals, so he's got to take three steps back as a sign of how lowly he views himself, from Madriga 1 to Madriga 4, as a sign of how lowly he views himself standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, many, many different interpretations of why it is that we dafka take three steps back. Weiter in the Gemara, we're at the two dots. Muspalt fil ktar b'beis hachitzon. And the Kohen Gadol then offers a short prayer in the beis hachitzon. My matzli, what does he daven? Rav baravad of Rav baravad the Travai mishmei the Rav Amri. Yiratzon lufnecha Hashem elokeinu shteishana zu geshuma u'shechuna, that it should be a rainy and hot year. Shechuna mal yusi, is it a good thing for it to be hot? So we often think of rain as not a good thing, but if you live in the Middle East, rain is a very good thing. You need rain, but hot is not good. It's like the opposite of the way we view things. When you live in a cold climate, hot is great. No, hot is not good. Is hot something good? No, what he means to say is if it's hot, then we need a lot of rain, so it should also be a rainy year. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Masayim b'Mishmei d'Rav Yehuda, and he said the tefillah continued. Lo ya'adi avid shalta mi debeis Yehuda v'lo yu imach amcha Yisrael tzrichon lefarnei zemizeh v'lo tkanis lefnecha tefillahs over drachim, that no one should rule over the base Yehuda, the Klal Yisrael shouldn't need too much parnasa from each other, and the tefillah of the over drachim, you shouldn't listen to the tefillah of the over drachim, because the over drachim are always going to daven that it shouldn't rain. So you shouldn't listen to that tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. When he has this one chance to daven, he's going to daven for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't listen to the tefillos of the Ovri Drachim, who rain would cause their trip to be more difficult. So I think the Balei Musar point out, of all the tefillos to give, he has to, the Ovri Drachim, some stam over derech, is going to be able to overpower the needs of all of Klal Yisrael. And the answer is yes, because when a person is an over derech, he's in the moment, and when a person is in the moment, so it's such a tefillah, it's a sincere tefillah, because he feels like he really needs it. So that's the best kind of tefillah, when a person feels that it's mamish omed al perek, when something is happening right now and he needs to deal with it right now. So in order to counter the tefillah of the Ovri Drachim, we need the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa v'ka'azul bu'urcha shadu mitra alei. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was traveling and it rained. Just to give you a sense of the tefillah of the Ovri Drachim, Amar Ribbono Shalom kol olam kulo b'nachas v'chanina b'tzar. He saw the rain, he says, wow, everyone's happy except for me, because I'm the one that happens to be stuck traveling right now. Pasak mitras, right away the rain stopped. Kiyasa lebeise, Amar Ribbono Shalom kol olam kulo b'tzar v'chanina b'nachas. Then when he got home and it wasn't raining, so he said, Ribbono Shalom, everyone is b'tzar, and I was okay. Hey, that's no good. Asa mitra. So right away the rain came again. Amar Rav Yosef, Maya Hani Litzlusi the Kohen Gadol Gavi Rav Chanina Ben Dosa. Unbelievable. The tefillah of the Kohen Gadol doesn't stand a chance against the tefillah of Rav Chanina Ben Dosa. Rav Chanina Ben Dosa knows how to daven. Tan Rabban, Maisa B'Kohen Gadol Echad Sherech B'Tefillah. So that one time there was a Kohen Gadol that was Marech B'Tefillah. He davened for a long time. V'Nimnu Achav HaKohanim L'Kanis Acharav, and the Kohanim were about to go in to go get him. Hischilu Heim Nechnasim. As they were about to go in and get him and pull out what they assumed was his dead body, he started walking out. So they said, why did you daven so long? What, would you not have wanted me to daven for you? Or was it the Beis HaMikdash you wouldn't have wanted me to daven for? I had a lot to pray for. Why are you asking me why would I daven so long? It's wonderful that you want to have kavana and that you want to daven that way. It's not appropriate. You have to keep in mind the fact that there are a whole bunch of people worrying about you. Rav Zilberstein has a whole bunch of shailas about should you daven quickly if you missed the minyan you were trying to get to, and then you got to a little bit of a later minyan, but your wife is waiting for you and she's going to worry, so maybe you should leave davening early because she's going to worry. And he tries to compare it to over here, that there are people somewhere else that are worrying about you, so then maybe you could be mekatzer in the tefillah. Says the Mishnah, Mishanital Aron, Evan Haisashami, most of you, Mishon Vishsia Haisan, the Kreis Kavam in Aron, Shalosh Etzbaos. Once there was no longer an Aron in the second base of Migdash, there was still an Evan Shasia that was three Etzbaos high on the Makam of the Aron. Valeo, you know, that's where he would put the Ketores. Natal Sadami, Mishayim, Mimari's Po, Nichnas, the Makam Shanichnas. Then he would go back after he finished the Ketores and he walked out. He would go back, take the dam of the par from the guy who was sitting there mixing it, and go back into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and Ramad Makam Shamad, stand in the same place. place. Vizim menu achas malav v'shev l'mata, and he would sprinkle one time up, seven times down. V'loyim eskaven hazal sol malav l'mata l'kamatzliv. He didn't have to get above a certain point or below a certain point. It's just a matter of direction of which way he'd flick his finger. V'kacha yimon, and he would count achas, one up, achas v'achas, one up, one down, achas v'shtayim, one up, two down, achas v'shalosh, achas v'arba, achas v'chamish, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva. Yotzev yinichu al kana zav shebeichel. Then he went out and put the cup of blood on a stand in the heichel. Hevilo sasir, and they brought him the goat. Shachtu v'kibul b'mizrak asdamo. So he shachted it, and then he caught, and then he was mekabel the dam. Nichnas the makom shenichnas, and he went back into the same place. So amud makom shom, and he stood back in that same place. V'izim menu achsmel v'shev lamata, and again he sprinkled one up, seven down. V'kacha imona achas achas v'achas achas v'shtayim v'chulei. Yatzav yinichal kana zav v'sheni shebeichel. He then went out and put that cup of blood on a second stand in the heichel. Rabbi Yudo Merlo Yisham El Kan Echad Bulvad. There was no second stand. He would put it on that first stand and not al damapar v'iniyap damasayir. And he had to take back the damapar and in order to put down the damasayir. Then what did he do with that damapar? V'hizim menuel aparochas shaknegad aron mibachutz. Then he would sprinkle on the parochas corresponding to the place where the aron is, from the outside. And again, achas lemala v'sheva lemata. V'loyim eskavein v'chulei. And again, the way he would do it is not that he's trying to get it above a certain point, below a certain point, just a matter of direction of which way he would flick his finger. V'kacha yamod, and he would count achas, achas, v'achas, achas, v'shtayim, etc. Natal dama sayir v'iniyak dama par. Then he would take the dama sayir and put down the dama par. V'hizim menu ala parocha shekneged arami v'chutz achas lemala v'sheva lemata. And now take the dama sayir and sprinkle it on the parochas from the outside, one up, seven down. Ira dama par l'toch dama sayir. Then he would mix the dama par with the dama sayir. V'nasnas hamali berekan, and he would take the cup that's now full of both dama par and dama sayir and put it inside the empty cup. So he would double up the cups. Okay, but Hashem, will pick up from the Gemara tomorrow. Oh, yeah.